In the name of Jesus the King, amen. I like a text like the one that was just read because it portrays for us, shall we say, an Old Testament style Messiah. Those who know only the New Testament and nothing about the Old have a tendency to portray the Messiah as a weak and namby-pamby figure, someone who inspires in us pity but not trust. Oh, please weep for yourselves and for your children. The ashes of yesterday are about us, not about him. But if we hang on to both testaments, hang on to your hats. Here he comes. He is the king who makes his enemies a stool for his feet. He is the champion of the whole human race. He is strong to save. He knows what he wants. He knows how to get it, and he does it, and no one can stop him. He is the prophet to end all prophets. All the prophets before him testified that all of history is about him and about what he does for us. Yes, he will die a prophet's death, but even that, especially that, is according to his plan and according to the foreknowledge of his Father in heaven. Now, during the season of Lent, the namby-pamby crowd might try to pull a fast one on you. You'll hear something like, "You put the nails in his hands. You put the nails in his feet. You were in the crowd yelling, 'Crucify him.' Why, look what you did to him. You have sinned in betraying innocent blood. You think that your sins against the Ten Commandments were bad. Why, the cross is your worst sin of all." Oh, give me a break. He didn't die on the cross to heap more guilt upon us. He died on the cross to take all our guilt away. He is the king. He has all authority, and he has all authority 100% of the time. He takes full responsibility for his own death. He reigns from the tree. He is the great high priest, and he will have it no other way. Nothing is going to stop him. He has set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. And if a Roman soldier can say it of that lifeless body hanging on the cross, we can say it too. Truly this is the Son of God. Now this is the Messiah that is seen in this whole chapter of the Gospel of Luke. At the beginning of the chapter, people ask the question, well, what about Pilate? You know, he has slaughtered some Galileans. The king's answer, this is what you all deserve if you don't repent of your sins. He tells parables about the kingdom of God and its power. He teaches as only the man from the head office can teach. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He straightens out the crooked back of a woman as only the creator of the universe could do. He answers the question, will those who are saved be few? With a command, make sure you enter by the narrow door yourself. You may not, but I'm telling you, people will come from north and south and east and west into the kingdom of God. And then in the text you heard at the end of the chapter, we are invited to compare the king himself with Herod Antipas. He was a tetrarch, a puppet ruler. He ruled over Galilee and Perea, which in those days would be considered Hicksville for the most part. He was so insecure, he was so afraid of his own shadow, that he even killed John the Baptist. Josephus says because he feared a rebellion, but it was also because the prophet of the Most High God pulled rank on Herod Antipas by calling a spade, regarding Herod's adultery. You see, Herod had brazenly dumped his first wife and had married Herodias, the wife of his half-brother. Now, Herodias was a real controlling Jezebel. She had Herod Antipas wrapped around her little finger. Why, today she might even be considered an advocate for woman's coronation. She tried to get her husband to be called a king, and the result was that both she and her husband were banished to France. It was during the reign of Herod Antipas that he was soundly trounced by his ex-father-in-law, who didn't exactly like the shameful treatment that Herod had given to his daughter. I mean, Herod Antipas was feeble. He built the town of Tiberias on an ancient burial plot. And as a result, he had to stock the town with Gentiles because no Jews would live there. Well, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Oh, Herod wants to kill you. You better get out of here." Now, obviously, the Pharisees were Jesus' enemies. Why would they be warning him thusly? Apparently, they didn't want to get dragged down with Jesus in this affair. Well, Jesus, the King, the one who puts down the mighty from their seats, answers in effect by saying, "Oh, so Herod Antipas is a force to be reckoned with, is he? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'll talk to him. You Pharisees, you talk to him. Herod's a fox. Oh, there's a touch of cunning in it, but also bear in mind that a fox is a scavenger. Like a jackal, it hangs around ruins and other desolate places and is basically an insignificant creature. Well, you Pharisees, go tell Herod this. No, Herod, you will not do a thing to me. I have my own agenda to follow, and I am not going to be subject to yours. I have powerful demons to control. I have powerful sickness to control." And how strange that must have sounded to a man who couldn't even control his wife. "And Herod, I will follow my own timetable, not yours. I will be doing things today and tomorrow and the day after that. Yes, my hour will come, but it will be my hour, not yours. I have work to finish, and it won't be finished until I say it is finished. Yes, I will die, but it will be in my time, and it will be at my place, Jerusalem, and it will be for my reasons. I have given the royal decree that being a servant is the greatest thing. I have made a royal decree that I will have mercy on poor, lost sinners. And Herod, one last thing. Yes, I will die, but I will do it. No one can take my life from me. I lay down my life for the sheep." Later on, as a postscript, there was a moment of supreme irony, because Herod Antipas was to be in Jerusalem at Good Friday. It wasn't his territory, he just happened to be visiting there. Herod asked for a miracle, because Jesus had followed his own agenda, and reports of this had come back to Herod himself. And it was Herod who put royal robes on the Lord Jesus. Meanwhile, Herod and Pilate became friends. apparently so that they could wallow in their own pity party. Anyway, back to the story. The Pharisees, I think obviously, were not too eager to give the message about Jesus to Herod or to anybody else. But you can be eager about the message of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.